The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
All right. All right.
Fatherhood and family building. There are so many factors. Parenting, encouragement, managing a career, and home life. Welcome to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. Today's father is all about more than bringing home the bacon. It's all about managing relationships. Now, here's your host, Freddie Scott.
And it's all right by me.
Live from Nashville, Tennessee, it's the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thank you so much for joining us today. It's a hot one here in Nashville. We have actually set some city records. I think this weekend we hit 109 degrees. Yesterday it finally cooled off a little bit, only went up to 105, and so it is a hot scorcher here, and hopefully you are also enjoying a great summer. Hopefully you're not as hot as it is here in Nashville, but looking forward to having another great show for you. It's been a while since we've been able to be live, and I'll get you up to speed with everything that's been happening. Kind of a crazy, crazy past couple of months, but I'll get you up to speed with what's happening and again, I missed you, but I'm glad to be back on live today. Big news around the sports world, of course, huge Dwight Howard news. He's identified that there is one team on his list that he wants to be traded to, and we'll talk about that a little bit. Upsets at Wimbledon, for those of you that are tennis fans and love Wimbledon and all the history and tradition there. The Major League All-Star voting has taken place, and it looks like there's two pretty dominant teams in the American League that pretty much dominated the All-Star League for the American League. It's possible that Jeremy Lin, after all the Linsanity, may not be back to the New York Knicks. Deron Williams, possibly to Dallas. And we're also going to talk about Jonathan Vilma suing the NFL and Commissioner Goodell. Also have some fun stuff from my great friends at All Pro Dad. We'll be talking a little bit about Facebook divorce and boundaries in marriage, as well as whether or not you can take a 30-day marriage challenge. And again, thank you again for joining us. The call is always free, 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. As well as you can keep this conversation going on Twitter by using the hashtag champion. So let's get started. Dwight Howard has come out. This is big news now on ESPN that they're releasing that there's only one team on Dwight Howard's list, and he is saying that that team is he wants to play in Brooklyn with the Brooklyn Nets, which is very interesting here. Now, when you think about it, though, if he knew that that's the team he wanted to go to, why would he re-sign and stay with Orlando if he really wants to be in Brooklyn? He pretty much has added another year of drama and another year in which he is not in control. So, again, it's really weird that he decided to go that route. I don't know if it's his agent or if it's family or who in his entourage that's giving him advice. But he could have went ahead and been a free agent right now and just went ahead and signed with Brooklyn versus re-signing and now giving the Orlando Magic the authority basically to trade him. And what he's trying to do now is basically the Orlando Magic, what team he wants to be traded to, but there's no guarantee. You know, they could, if the Houston Rockets, which loaded up the deck with draft picks and trying to go ahead and recruit Dwight Howard, if they're successful in doing that, then the Magic technically can trade Dwight Howard to the Houston Rockets, and there really is nothing that he can do about it. And so I don't know why he decided to do that, but now he's making it known clearly that he wants to be in Brooklyn, and if he is not traded to Brooklyn, then what he's saying is he'll play out his season in Orlando, become a free agent, and then just take it from there. So I don't know why he would drag out this time frame of being a free agent. If he wants to be a free agent, if he wants to have control with what he's doing, just be a free agent. Don't re-sign. You know, just go ahead and do what you feel like you need to do. And now he's going to have a whole off-season now of questions, of debates, of exactly where you're going to go. Is it Brooklyn? Do you want to play with Deron Williams, which is, of course, is another big issue, because now Deron Williams is now being recruited by the Dallas Mavericks, and he's going to be meeting with the Dallas Mavericks first before making a decision whether or not to stay with Brooklyn. So I'm sure a lot of this is a lot of strategy. I think Dwight is trying to let Deron know, hey, I'm willing to come. Why don't you go ahead and stay, and then the two of us can team up together. And I think that's also the reason why he released this information now, because he found out that Deron was going to go ahead and take this visit to Dallas. And by taking the visit to Dallas, Dwight wanted to let Deron know, hey, listen, don't sign there. Stay in Brooklyn, because I want to come there with you. Just hold on until I can get there. But again, who knows if Dallas, you know, Dallas is a contending team. They just won an NBA championship, you know, 2 years ago, and they're not that far off. They've got a great guy in a Dirk Nowitzki, and they've got a lot of talent around him down there in Dallas. Dallas is a great city to live in. And so, you know, you got an owner who is motivated to win. He wants to have a winner out there. He's got a taste of a championship. And trust me, he is going to do whatever it takes to really make a strong appeal to Deron Williams to stay in Dallas. And so, by all means, I don't think that we even have come close to the end of the story, have come close to the end of how it may end up working out between these teams. I think the easiest thing for these guys to do, if Dwight and Deron want to play together, they probably need to go ahead and go with the playbook like LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. They need to go ahead and talk to each other directly, make a decision on where they want to go directly, and then go ahead and go to that team versus trying to operate independently and send coded messages through the media, which I don't think is going to really end up working at the end of the day. The other big NBA news is Jeremy Lin may not go back to the New York Knicks. The Knicks have yet to come to terms to re-sign the guard that pretty much put the entire NBA, took the NBA by storm after, you know, pretty much being a bench warmer. And then afterwards, you know, he got some opportunity to be able to play. And it seems like at this point, according to ESPN, that we initially thought it was a foregone conclusion that Jeremy Lin would re-sign with the Knicks. But sources close to the situation say the return of the free agent point guard is not as certain as it once seemed. That while both Lin and the Knicks are hoping for the reunion, sources say that if any other clubs offer Lin a restricted free agent, backloaded contract that pays him an eight-figure salary in the third and fourth years, the Knicks could be given pause about matching that offer. And so basically it's basically negotiations. You know, hey, basically both Lin and the Knicks are saying, hey, we think it would be nice. You know, we like what you did for us. It was a great story. We sold a whole bunch of jerseys, you know, but basically what the Knicks are saying is we're not sold on you. And what Jeremy Lin is hoping for is that there is enough buzz, there is enough excitement, there is enough media attention that hopefully my value has grown to a certain degree. And if there's an NBA team right now that got through the draft, they didn't get the point guard that they were hoping for, that they needed, you know, maybe now we can go after a free agent. And just so you know, that's typically what ends up happening with these, with NBA and NFL teams. They're going to go, they identify the needs after the season. They know what needs they need to try to address on their team. And typically, most GMs are going to want to try to fill those needs through the draft. But as you know, sometimes, depending upon the guys that are available or not, will necessitate who you can draft. And so, depending upon the drafting strategy, some GMs in the NFL and NBA, they only pick best available, not necessarily best available at that position. And so if you needed a point guard, but the best available position available at this time of your pick, the best guy there was a power forward. Well, you got to take the power forward because the next best guard that you really needed is really, it would have been a reach to pick that guy at that selection. So let's say, you know, you're picking number 10 in the draft and you need a point guard, but, you know, at that point in the of the draft, you know, the next best point guard is really a value of a number of a mid 20 pick. Well, you're not going to overpay that guy. You're going to go ahead and take the best available and wait, and hopefully somebody will fall to you. But sometimes it doesn't fall to you. The Lakers, they had one pick, which was the last pick of the entire draft. And so of course, they weren't able to meet any needs that they had in the draft. And so you're going to then, after the draft, look to free agency. So don't be surprised if you're going to see a lot more activity now that the free agency period has begun, to see a lot more activity between teams, a whole lot more rumors to get spread. But again, at the end of the day, if the New York Knicks wanted Jeremy Lin, they had plenty of time to re-sign him. The mere fact that the Knicks have not offered Jeremy Lin something that makes Jeremy say, wow, you know, I'm going to be a New York Knick, and the fact that Jeremy Lin has not come out and said, you know what, this is where I want to play, it doesn't matter about the money, you know, I think the off the field, and that's something else that he's got to consider. The off-the-court opportunities there in New York, you know, is probably going to be more lucrative than off-the-court opportunities in other markets because he is in New York. And so even though he might take a short-term hit as far as what he might be able to make as a salary on his contract, he can more than make up the difference of it if he plays anywhere like he did last year in sponsorship and endorsement opportunities that he can get just because he's in the New York market. When we come back after the break, we'll talk about a little bit about the upset at Wimbledon. We have the Major League All-Star voting that has come in. We'll talk about a little bit. And Jonathan Vilmas suing the NFL and Commissioner Goodell. Would love to hear your feedback on that. A lot of things breaking loose. You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be right back after this.
It's all right, bye.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
The job of a professional athlete is never complete. In Life After the Game, host Lamar Campbell will take an inside look at how athletes are making the transition from the professional athletics world to the professional business world. You'll understand the goals, motivations, and personalities that drive these players off the field and in their post-professional career. Tune in to Life After the Game with Lamar Campbell every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Live from Nashville, this is the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America. Thank you once again for joining us. You can call toll-free at 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Again, this has just been a crazy past couple months here for me. And as I mentioned before when we opened up the show, the fact that it's been a little bit since I've been able to do a live show. I had a little vacation time with some break with the kids, but then unfortunately had a tragic death of a close friend of mine who is just 50 years old, had been diagnosed and had been battling cancer for the longest. And for those of you that, especially you guys, you know, that can go to the doctor and get checked, please, prevention, early detection is so important. Please go to the doctor. If something is aching, if something doesn't quite seem right, you know, I think a lot of times, especially being athletes and growing up in this testosterone, tough-minded world, you know, there's no such thing as pain, that sometimes we allow things to happen that doesn't necessarily have to happen. And, you know, I know in football, you know, you have to suck it up and you get hit and, you know, you just bear with the pain and it's almost like you feel like you're more of a man the more pain that you can deal with, and you're not going to complain about it, but you know there's something wrong, but I'm not going to tell you I'm tough enough, I can deal with it. And all that stuff, guys, is literally killing us. If there's something wrong, go to the doctor and get yourself checked out. A friend of mine, unfortunately, had been battling cancer for quite some time, and he went home to be with the Lord probably just over about a month ago. And since that time, just our worlds have just been flipped upside down. He left a beautiful wife and two children, a 16-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old son, that we decided to go ahead and just take some time off and just say, you know, we've got to spend some time with them. They've lost a dad. And, you know, being there in the hospital room, there with him and with his family during his last days, and making sure that his children had a chance to be able to have those last moments with him, you really start to put a lot of things in perspective, guys. And so, so again, I apologize for not being able to be here live, but of course, I think you can understand when you've got things like that going on, you know, things have to sort of be put in perspective. And listen, guys, if you have not been to the doctor, go to the doctor, get checked, get tested. Not only is it for you, but the people that are dependent on you as well. Of course, now going back to just some of the things that's been going on in sports, here on ESPN, we've been looking at a lot of the stuff with the NBA All-Star Game. Now, I don't know about you. You know, I understand why they try to make the All-Star Game a little bit more important by making the winner of that game, you know, to have home field advantage in the World Series and hopefully trying to drive ratings for people to try to watch the game. But I'm sorry. The All-Star Game is the All-Star Game, and the All-Star Game should not determine or penalize a team that has played 162 games throughout a whole season and clearly has been the number one, earned the right to be a number one seed. You know, that manager that, you know, coached that team, those players that did what no other team was able to do, and to tell that team, to tell that manager, to tell that city that supported that team that, oh, by the way, you're not going to have home field advantage because your league lost the All-Star game. And then that could be the deciding factor in whether or not your team wins the World Series. I'm sorry, that's just something that I personally feel you should not make the All-Star game that important that could determine the world champion of your league. You don't see anyone else doing that. An All-Star game is just that. It's an All-Star game. It's an exhibition game. Sometimes some leagues are going to be more loaded than other teams, but that doesn't mean that the league that comes out, the team that comes out of that league, whether or not it's the American or the National, you know, should be penalized just because they may not be as loaded at a certain position as another league. And you know, it is what it is. They're not going to change it, obviously. But, you know, it's just one of those things that you just sort of have to deal with. And especially when you're talking about the Yankees or the Rangers, you know, or the Phillies or any of these teams that, you know, have the opportunity to be a number one home field advantage team, and to realize that it really doesn't matter what we do, you know, at the end of the day, it's all going to be determined upon this game. It's sad. But, you know, at the end of the day, the Texas Rangers are going to be well represented, as well as the New York Yankees. You got Josh Hamilton. He's going to be leading the parade there to the All-Star game. He drew a record total of more than 11 million votes, and the slugger was among seven Rangers chosen Sunday as All-Stars. Three Yankees also made the American League starting lineup for the showcase on July 10th in Kansas City. And in fact, Ron Washington said this. He said, "I don't think the Rangers have to apologize because we have good players. I certainly didn't pick my guys being selfish. I picked them very deserving of being All-Stars, bottom line." And so it's interesting. You're going to see, along with Josh Hamilton, who actually was featured on this show a few months back, you're going to have Adrian Beltre at third base and Mike Napoli as catcher. We're going to have Joe Morrow from the Napoli barely beat out Minnesota's Joe Maurer. Also, you're going to have second baseman Ian Kinsler, shortstop Elvis Andrus, starter Matt Harrison, and reliever Joe Nathan also made the All-Star roster from Texas. The two-time AL champions entered Sunday with a Major League best 50 wins. So, of course, if they have a chance to win, not only when you think about it, it's actually kind of a cool thing. They're playing in Texas. It's seven guys from their team playing, and they're playing also for home field advantage. And so if you can stack a deck, that's pretty much – you can't get in a better scenario than that, so they better not drop the ball on this. Derek Jeter became the 13-time All-Star shortstop and will get the start for the AL with the Yankees teammates Robinson Cano at second base and Curtis Granderson in the outfield. Injured pitcher CeCe Sabathia was also picked, and he will attend but won't play. Prince Fielder of Detroit will start at first base. He was the MVP of last year's All-Star game while playing with the National League for Milwaukee. And, of course, he said that it's thrilling every time you get a chance to play in the game. Toronto outfielder Jose Bautista and Boston DH David Ortiz round out the AL starting lineup, and there were nine first-timers in the AL, including DH Billy Butler from the host Royals. It's in Kansas City, not Texas. It's going to be Billy Butler from the host Royals, 20-year-old Angels rookie outfielder Mike Trout. He just had a phenomenal season so far. He leads the AL right now in hitting with 339. He drew more than 800,000 write-in votes. Every team gets at least one All-Star, and so it's amazing. He got 800,000 write-in votes. That means he's got a lot of following right now, who's been following baseball and seeing that, you know, this guy needs to be rewarded with an All-Star. Both the AL and NL each have one spot left with fans voting online through Thursday. So if there's a guy that's on your team that you know of that you think needs to make the team, now's the time to go online, cast your vote to make sure that the right guys get in for the All-Star game. And you know, it is what it is. It's baseball is baseball. It's not football. It's not basketball. It's always going to be number three in as far as importance overall within, you know, American athletics. You know, I think everybody can attest to the fact that everyone's waiting so patiently for anything NFL, football, college football. It's like July is that last month of nothing before at least we can start talking about training camp. And today guys are reporting to camp. And today this guy signed as a free agent. Now we can see, you know, Andrew Luck, and we can see, you know, these guys actually practicing and trying to get a glimpse of just somebody in a practice uniform doing something. And, you know, we're doing all that in the middle of baseball season, which to me tells you we'd rather watch an NFL or college practice game or practice than a major league game. That says a lot. ESPN and all these other networks, they're going to send their reporters out to the practice facilities of NFL facilities, of NFL teams, rather than just the coverage that's available for MLB baseball. And so, again, it just tells you about the power of football, the power of basketball, and me being a football fan and a former player, you know, I'm waiting and waiting eagerly for something football to come back. But until then, we got to deal with what we got. And we got Major League Baseball coming up July 10th. If you love it, it is a national pastime. You know, it's something to watch. It's something to do. And hopefully something you can pass on to your kids. I love the game of baseball. I actually was a better baseball player than a football player growing up. And I love coaching my son's baseball teams for the past, you know, 4 or 5 years. I've been coaching my boys. It's a great time to be able to spend with your family, you know, but just sitting there watching the game, it just can be kind of monotonous. So anyway, it's July 10th. If your guy is not in the All-Star game, go ahead. If I didn't name one of your guys or somebody you think should be in it, you need to go ahead, go online, cast your vote, make sure your guy gets on there. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about Tiger Woods passing Jack for the PGA Tour wins, Jonathan Vilma suing the NFL, and a 30-day marriage dare from our friends at All Pro Dad. We'll be right back after this.
It's all right by me.
Your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with K. Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
Your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to The Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thank you once again for joining us. The call is free, 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. I want to give a shout-out to the city of Jackson, Mississippi, and specifically Bishop Keith A. Butler and the wonderful ministry there in Jackson called Faith for Life Church, who had me down there as the Father's Day speaker. Thank you guys so much for your hospitality, and the people were awesome there. The congregation was awesome there, really rolled out the red carpet, and I just want to thank you. For anyone in the Jackson, Mississippi area, you definitely want to go and check out Faith for Life Church, pastored by Bishop Keith A. Butler. He's doing a wonderful work there, and just excited about the things that are happening there. And so, and also, looking forward to on Saturday, August the 25th, we'll be speaking with our great friends at All Pro Dad who have partnered with Lifeway Christian Stores. I'll be speaking with Tony Dungy. And so if you have a church or anything like that, there's an opportunity where you can actually simulcast the event right there to the men in your community, and you can go to allprodad.com for information on that. And I'm looking forward to going up to Indianapolis to the Colts practice facility and speaking there with Coach Dungy as we continue to empower men and families across the country. Some exciting things going on here in the world of Unlock the Champion, which is my nonprofit organization, and the work that we're doing across the country. We're really, really excited about the opportunity to be able to do things to help you, to help your family, to help your city. And so back in the world of sports, of course, the big news this weekend, Tiger Woods finally passed Jack Nicklaus for PGA Tour wins. He's number two on the list. Won the AT&T National. Now, again, when you think about it, this is a guy that, you know, a couple years ago was on top of the world, considered to be, if not the best athlete, one of the best athletes in the world. Clearly was the top moneymaker, not just from his Nike endorsement, but just the victories that he had accumulated over time. And to see the fall from grace, literally, to see him go from the media darling to, you know, him going through everything that he went through off the course, and then to see sort of him slowly but surely regain his stride on the course, realizing that, you know, that there is a huge mental side. Golf is more mental than anything else. You know, there is nothing wrong physically with Tiger Woods, but obviously he went through a toll mentally and emotionally going through the things that he went through. And obviously there are many in the media who felt like we had seen the best of Tiger Woods, and there's, you know, some even question if he would even be able to win again. In fact, according to him in his press conference after the game, he said, yeah, some of y'all said that just 6 months ago, that I wouldn't be able to win again. And to see, and though it was not a major, it was still a PGA Tour event, and to say that he's number two all time at his age is still a phenomenal feat. From my perspective, of course, I would love to have him be able to be a better role model off the course and be able to see a family and be able to see him as a husband and father. But at the end of the day, that's him, you know. But as an athlete, you got to give him his credit for battling back and doing what it took to be able to win again. And whether or not you love him as a person, don't like him as a person, love him as a player, don't like him, at the end of the day, you know, I guess Tiger may be sort of like the Cowboys now or the Yankees. You either love him or you hate him. You know, there are many people that just because it's the Yankee pinstripes, they don't like him, or just because it's the Dallas Cowboys and have been deemed America's team, just don't like him. You're going to watch him, but you don't like him. I think Tiger Woods is sort of in that category of people are going to watch him and have a strong love and appreciation for his talent, or a strong dislike because of what things have transpired. But again, congratulations to Tiger Woods for becoming number two all time. And of course, now the debate's going to continue to go. You know, does he have to win more majors, and will he ever become number one all time with the majors? And, you know, will there be an asterisk by, you know, before the incident and after the incident? But at the end of the day, he's done what he needed to do to be able to win again on the golf course, and which is his job. And so congratulations, Tiger Woods. Then, of course, the big news in the NFL arena is that Jonathan Vilma, who is a linebacker who had been deemed by the NFL to have played a vital role in paying and being a part of the Saints bounty program, and has been sued by the league, by Commissioner Goodell, for the entire season. Can't participate, can't work, can't do anything, not getting paid, anything, and has asked for proof. And of course, I don't have all the details from what I've heard through the grapevine, so to speak, is sketchy at best, to say the least, as far as what evidence the league has against him. But obviously, Jonathan feels pretty strong that not only did he do one suit, but he did two suits. One, a defamation of character suit, where he felt strongly enough that whatever information that they were leaking about him, they didn't have enough evidence or didn't have evidence to validate or verify those accusations, and felt as though that what they were leaking and releasing about him was defaming his character, his opportunity to be able to, you know, work with other organizations or sponsors. And you got to realize this, guys, too. You know, and this is going to be real interesting how this plays out, because, you know, if Jonathan was a vital person and paying out these fines or paying out these bounties to these guys, then, of course, you know, there should be repercussions to that. But if it's but if we find out that there's nothing but circumstantial evidence, there's nothing but someone's quote-unquote testimony of what they said happened, but there's no record of transactions, there's no concrete proof that Jonathan clearly did this, you're talking about a guy that not only is a leader on his team, but also a leader in his community. Remember, these are not just football players, but these are also people. And so Jonathan has a hometown that he works in and resides. Jonathan, I'm sure, has companies and organizations that either endorse him or pay him sponsorship things or, you know, support his foundation work in the community. And so to have this stigma of, oh, you paid bounties, not only does that impact him potentially personally financially, but the support that he was getting from the business community, as well as the opportunity to be able to go into the community and do some of the things with youth and nonprofit organizations that he liked to do. Now, of course, then that it causes a negative impact. And so I can clearly understand why he would file a defamation of character lawsuit if he felt as though what they're saying is not true. And then the second thing that he did is he filed a suit against the league regarding the delay or the slow response of the commissioner to a rule on the appeal that he has filed. And so the NFL has issued a statement saying, you know, they don't believe that the federal court should be involved in the decision that has been clearly negotiated between the NFL and the NFLPA, that the NFL can basically police themselves. Now, this is something that's going to be really, really, really interesting. Yes, the NFL and the NFLPA have a collective bargaining agreement, an agreement in which the union and the players have agreed to work with terms with the NFL, and that, of course, has been clearly negotiated and has been in place for some time, that type of working relationship. However, there is also a mentality within the NFL that they feel like that they don't need any type of oversight. The NFL, quote-unquote, the owners, Commissioner Goodell, feel like they actually can do whatever they want to do, regardless of whether or not it's in line with federal law, whether or not it's in line with any other regular stipulations. If you went to work and, you know, you knew that, you know, federal law states that you have certain rights or privileges, but then you go to work one day and your boss says, well, you know, I know that's what the law says, but, you know, we're going to make up our own rules. Well, that wouldn't fly very well with you. Well, a lot of the things that have taken place now in the NFL is sort of going into some of these antitrust laws and going into a lot of these things in which there's a mentality that the NFL doesn't have to report or answer to anyone, and they do not like having their issues, their quote-unquote dirty laundry, having to be shown in court. They don't like having to answer to a judge to give justification for their decisions. And so it's really interesting to see what's going to happen with this Vilma case against the commissioner about him, quote-unquote, dragging his feet and making a decision on the appeal because, again, the mentality of the NFL is, well, we do what we do when we want to do it, and whatever decisions we make is our decisions, and no one can make a decision about it. And so please pay a lot of attention to this because I have a feeling that this it may get ugly before it gets any better, and it may open up a whole other can of worms that the NFL really doesn't want to look at. But at the end of the day, you know, if there's an appeal, there should be a clear process of if you give an appeal, here's the time frame in which you should get your verdict versus just sort of sitting on pins and needles wondering if I can work again. And then also, I know one of the biggest issues the players have always had is the fact that the person that makes the decision, which is Commissioner Goodell, is also the person that you have to appeal to. So what's the likelihood that the same person is going to change his mind? And so trying to come up with a system that, okay, even though he may make a decision, maybe there should be another board or someone else that would review the appeal in a non-biased manner to either side with the commissioner or to decide against him based upon the information that's been shown. To me, that's a real appeal policy versus everything rises and falls based on whatever the commissioner says he wants to do. And so, yeah, a lot of interesting things going on in the world. And of course, remember that Dee Smith, who is the new director of the NFLPA, his background is law. He's a lawyer. He's an expert in law. And so a lot of the things that he's going to be doing is all going to have a legal emphasis, legal precedent, and trying to explore all the legal options for players moving forward. And so, yeah, it's going to be real interesting. It's kind of tough as a player to sue, you know, your boss's boss. And so that took a lot of guts for him to, so imagine that. Imagine you go to work, you've got a boss, you've got a manager, but your manager's boss, the CEO of the whole company, you know, you decide, you know what, I don't like what he did, and I'm going to go ahead and just file a lawsuit against my boss's boss. That takes some strong, that is, it's going to be real interesting to see how this plays out. Not only because there's layers of interest to this because the entire Saints organization has been impacted by this. And so I don't think Jonathan will receive anything negative from the Saints internally, but I'm curious to see if there's any ripple effects, anything negative that may happen from the NFL side towards Jonathan. It shouldn't be the case. You shouldn't think that way, but you know what? Sometimes, you know, people look at you and you know, certain opportunities that you may have had before because you didn't follow suit and do what the company says you should have done. Now all of a sudden, they start closing doors or not sharing things with you that they could have had you followed suit. So please continue to keep that up to speed. When we come back after the break, of course, there is a little upset there at Wimbledon, but I want to get into some of the stuff with All Pro Dad, talk a little bit about Facebook divorce and boundaries in marriage. You do realize that there should be certain boundaries that you have in your marriage, and too many marriages are having either divorce or having serious marriage problems because they have not understood how to put boundaries around their Facebook use and just Internet use. And then also want to challenge you to a 30-day marriage challenge from our friends at All Pro Dad. You listen to the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be right back after this.
It's all right by me.
Oh, yeah. It's all right by me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
You're live listening to the Freddie Scott Show, where marriage works, families grow, and men lead. We're so excited again for being with you today. The call is free, 346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. If you're just joining us, we just talked a little bit NBA, NFL, Tiger Woods, talked all the big news, of course, and got you all up to speed. Again, thank you to the city of Jackson, Mississippi, and Faith for Life Church, pastored by Bishop Keith A. Butler down there, for your warm hospitality and having me speak there for Father's Day. Looking forward to being in the city of Indianapolis on Saturday, August 25th, for a powerful All Pro Dad event. All Pro Dad is partnered with Lifeway, and if you want to connect your church to that simulcast with Coach Dungy and myself and other NFL players, please go to allprodad.com, and you'll be given the information on how you and the men in your community can be impacted by what we're doing there all at the same time. I want to close today's show talking about a little bit about Facebook divorce and boundaries in marriage. I'm not sure if you've understood this, but this is just shocking to me when I saw this. Facebook is cited in one out of every five divorces in the United States, according to the Loyola University Health System. Furthermore, 81% of the country's top divorce attorneys say that they have seen an increase in the number of cases using social networking evidence during the past 5 years, according to a recent survey by the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers. But last but not least, Facebook is the unrivaled leader for online divorce evidence, with 66% citing it as the primary source. Facebook and other social media are not to blame, but can be handy conduits for partners in a struggling marriage to find solace somewhere else. So whether your marriage is healthy or in shambles, it's important to have guidelines to keep you both from straying. I remember there was a case in which I actually was subpoenaed to be a witness for a couple that went through certain issues, and it was all because of what she found out that he was saying to other women on Facebook, and how he found his old high school girlfriend on Facebook, and all the drama that happened out of that. I'm going to give quickly 10 marital principles for social media. This is actually referenced from a Danny Rodance, who is the founder and CEO of Yellow Leaf Marketing, which is a digital marketing agency with a focus on social media strategy, and they compiled a 10 marital principles for social media. So, guys, let's take a look at our internet usage seriously. Now, let's look at this. Here's number one, online accountability. It's always a good idea to have some kind of website activity monitor installed on your computers, smartphone, tablets. A program like Covenant Eyes is great for online accountability. You can install it on your computer and download the apps on your mobile devices. It tracks the websites you visit and sends a report to a person you designate as your online accountability partner. Now, you know what? I'll be honest with you guys. Most of you probably have no one in your life that you're accountable to. And that's real dangerous because with no accountability, with no one to help make sure I'm staying in the right direction, no one saying, you know what, I want to be the leader of my home, I want to be a leader of my family, and you know what, I'm willing to make the decision, and not only make the decision, I'm willing to tell someone that this is a decision that I'm making, and I want you to make sure you follow up with me to make sure that I'm doing what I need to do, saying what I need to say, being who I need to be, for not just myself, but more importantly for my wife and for my children. And so online accountability is huge. And to even make the decision to go to somebody and say, you know what, would you be willing to get a report from me that will verify the websites that I go to? That's huge, guys. That's huge because internet pornography and everything else, you know right now is a major issue for millions of men across the country. And it's not because it's so much something that we know we shouldn't do, but it's because we know there's no one accountable. We know that, you know what, when I go to the site, no one knows it but me. Wow. Well, really, there is someone else that knows it. God knows it. He sees everything that we're doing. It doesn't catch him by surprise. And even worse, we know it. So why not go ahead and create our own safeguard and ask someone to be your accountability partner to make sure that you're doing. Now, there's also what they call offline accountability. Author and pastor Matt Chandler says, to be 99% known is to be unknown. And that's true. That 1% could be your downfall. So ask your friends to hold you accountable with the way you use social networks and the internet at large. Ask them to check in on you. Maybe one or two of them receive your reports from Covenant Eyes and help you stay safe from the internet. It's always safer to walk in accountability. We weren't created to walk through this life in isolation. Number three, does she know your passwords? Make sure that your wife has access to all of your online profiles. That's my thing. Nope. There should be nothing that we're accessing that my wife and my children shouldn't be able to see. Ooh. Let her know that she is free to log in at any time to see what's going on. This doesn't mean that you can't be trusted. This means that you're showing transparency, and that reigns in your relationship. Go ahead, give her access to your accounts. You'll both feel better. Not only will she see, wow, my husband is showing that he trusts me and showing that, you know, he's willing to disclose this. Now, it doesn't mean that most likely she's going to do it, but I guarantee you this, guys, for those of you that fight for not showing it and revealing it, I guarantee you that it's an issue and she's going to be wondering what's going on, and this causes more issues when we're not transparent. And typically we're not transparent because we know that there's something in there that we don't want them to see. So let's go ahead and just deal with it and make sure that we can be transparent in everything that we do. Don't overshare. When using social media, make it a point to not share your entire life and all of your thoughts, all of your hopes, all of your dreams, all of your passions and convictions. Keep that for your wife. Many online emotional affairs start with someone pouring their heart out in a status update. Don't entertain that thought. Keep it simple. Keep it light. Save the heavy stuff for the people closest to you. Don't use social media to criticize your wife either. So I can't tell you how many times people use social media to vent and don't realize you just told the world everything, instead of realizing you need to be really mindful of what you're sharing and what you're not sharing, and be very intentional with what you share and what you don't share. Also, on Facebook, if you get an inbox message, anything that you communicate with someone, especially a woman, should be open for the public to see. There should not be in fact, that's number five, keep it public. You know, things get dangerous when you start engaging in private messages. If you're going to use Facebook or Twitter to communicate, try to keep it out in the open and not through Facebook messages or Twitter direct messages, especially when talking with someone of the opposite sex who isn't your spouse. Set boundaries and stick to them. I remember I've gotten messages from people that will try to send me an inbox message, but I will not reply. I'll reply back using the public forum where it's on their wall for everyone to see. And as soon as, and this is a rule just for me, as soon as I see someone post something inappropriate, or as soon as I know, whoa, that's hitting a gray line, I will unfriend you. And not just unfriend you, and guys, you know what I'm talking about. There's certain profiles that you need to go ahead and just block so that you can't even find them anymore. Now, that takes a lot, but you know those avatar pictures of ladies and they wearing half of nothing, and you just, those are the things that you need to make sure that you take off and you don't continue to look at. Make sure that what you're doing in public stays in public. Keep your shirt on. You've seen them, the iffy pictures that your Facebook friends post, and you think to yourself, really? Is that necessary? Make it a rule to only post pictures that are above reproach. No one wants the ticket to your gun show, trust me. Seven, make it not about you. Choose to use social media to talk and post about things closest to you. Talk about your wife, your kids, your job. Try not to focus on yourself specifically. Social media is a breeding ground for narcissism. Guard against this. Eight, get your privacy settings in order. Make sure you check them. Make sure your social network privacy settings are configured in a way that protects you and your family. This is the easiest way to protect yourself and your family. Number nine, be visible. Make sure your family computer is in a visible place. If you use a laptop, make it a family rule that it can be used in the living room or a den. And lastly, number 10, be prepared to have a plan in place. You can control the way you use the internet and specifically social networks. However, we can't control the way others use it. Make sure to have a family plan in place for when potential temptations come knocking on your door. Maybe it's an old girlfriend, a coworker, or just an acquaintance trying to contact you. Will you try to hide it from your wife to pretend like it never happened? Or will you bring it out and be open and discuss how you as a family will respond together in unity? You can get those tips right there on All Pro Dad. They've got some great stuff to help with that. And I'm telling you guys, don't be one of the one in five. And many of you right now have some Facebook profiles and friends that you probably need to unfriend and block. Love and lead your family this week. Safeguard and protect yourself, your family, your marriage, your children. Make boundaries and keep them. Make those corrections on your Facebook and social media settings. Until next week, this is Freddie Scott reminding you to love and lead your family. We'll be right back next week. See you next week.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be back next Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. We'll see you then.
It's all right by me.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com.